Hey everybody, my name is Jared. I'm an alcoholic.
Jared.
My sobriety date's November 28th of 2008, and definitely not because of me. You know, a little backstory. Atheism is a pretty big part of my story. You know, I remember from an early age, 6, 7 years old, I came from a very religious family, LDS, and like being forced to go to church. And you know, growing up, you're taught that you're supposed to ask a lot of questions while you're in church. And you know, I asked a lot of questions. They didn't like the questions. I was asked to leave. And that's at a 6 or 7 year old in primary. And you know, that kind of left a bad taste in my mouth as far as the concept of God went. Continuing on, like 8 years old, I was baptized even though I didn't want to be. I didn't agree with it. But you know, that's what we do in this family. You know, you get baptized, you get the priesthood, you go on a mission. I didn't quite make the mission part because I had other priorities. You know, I never understood the concept of God, never really believed in God. And, you know, that was okay because that worked for me at the time. Kind of a turning point when I started to use a lot. You know, I was at a baseball tournament down in Fresno. My dad was there with us. And, like, he left a day early and because we still had games to play and, like, he had to get back to work. You know, when he got back home, he had a pretty major stroke, ended up in the ICU. And you know, my family didn't tell me until I got back home. And that was pretty traumatic for me. You know, because I thought this was my family. They cared for me. They wanted what was best for me. And you don't have enough respect to call me and tell me that my father's in the ICU, that he had a major stroke and he might die. That was a pretty big shock to me. And kind of from that point, it was like, you know, I don't want your God. I don't want this family. I'm going to do whatever the hell I want. And that's what I did. You know, I found alcohol. I found weed. And I found everything else along the way, too. And that became my higher power. That became my spirituality. Every time I tried a new drug, you know, it was a spiritual experience. You know, it gave me that sense of euphoria. You know, I was God. I was God. And, you know, that lasted for a long time. And, like, I would always argue with people about religion. I could give you 100 reasons why God didn't exist. And religious people don't like that, surprisingly. So, you know, basically my story goes is, like, my higher power was drugs. My higher power was me. And that worked for a lot of years. You know, but eventually that shine wore off where, you know, I didn't want that drug, that drink. I didn't want that to be my higher power anymore because it wasn't working. And, you know, that's quite the situation for someone like us to be in. You know, because something that's worked for so long, it just stops working. What the hell do we do? I can't live life on like normal terms. So, you know, I got 12-step into this program by a guy I work with. And let me back up a little bit. So the last few months of my use, probably 6 months, you know, I was actively trying to overdose because I didn't want to live anymore. And, you know, I had my 29th birthday. You know, I was always surrounded by a lot of people, had a lot of friends. My 29th birthday, I got 2 phone calls that day. One was from my mother, and one was from an ex-girlfriend. And, you know, for someone who had always been surrounded by other people and, like, had a lot of friends, you know, that was a pretty big shot to the ego because I had chased everybody off in my life that mattered. And, you know, I think I always had a sour taste about God. I always had a sour taste about prayer. this was the first time in my life that I ever said like an earnest prayer, like something that I actually meant. And it went something like this. It's like, you know what, I don't know if you exist. I don't know if you're real, but I need help and I can't do this another day. And, you know, I knew at that point that the ride was over as far as like drugs and alcohol go. And, you know, that kind of started the process of coming to understand and believe in something greater than myself, because I knew I couldn't do it on my own. And so as the story goes, you know, I went to my sister, I said, you know what, I can't do this anymore, I need help. Just so happens that this guy that I work with, who 12-stepped me into the program, you know, he kind of guided me where to go. He's like, you know what, you're going to go to treatment, and then after that, we'll go from there. Like, I wanted nothing to do with AA. I was like, all right, I'll go to treatment, but I'm not going to do your little AA thing. I don't want any of that. I don't want your cult. Because that's what it is, you know, it really is a cult. And so I went through treatment, and then I asked this guy to sponsor me, and we start going through the steps, and it's like, you know, are you powerless? Is your life unmanageable? Oh yeah, definitely unmanageable. I'm definitely powerless. And then we get to step two, you know, came to believe that the power greater than ourselves could restore to sanity. Like, yeah, I can't do that. I can't do that, Dave. I can't do it. And he's like, okay, well, you don't have to do it right now, but if you want to stay sober, at some point you're going to have to have a power that's greater than yourself. And, you know, especially being like an atheist agnostic, you know, it's like I can't jive with having something greater than myself, because I've been fighting my whole life telling people why it's not possible. But, you know, that's the shot to the ego that I needed. Like, I don't always have to be right. I don't have to prove a point, even though I do. And so through the process, you know, it's like growing up LDS, you know, you hear the stories about, you know, oh, God loves you unconditionally as long as you follow these different conditions. And you know, that was really hard for me. So he's like, in the process, he's like, okay, so I want you to go home and I want you to write a list. I want you to write a list of what you want your God to be and what you want your God not to be. Like, okay, I can do that. And so, like, I made the list, and it's like, I don't want my God to be this, this, and this, and I do want my God to be this. And you know, that worked for me for a while. You know, I had that spiritual experience that you guys speak of. It's like, oh. You know, it doesn't have to be this God that's defined by any specific religion. You know, it can be that ultimate source. It can be that star shooting through the sky. It can be nature. It can be an atom. You know, I don't know how atoms work. Nobody does. I mean, you cut it down small, as small as you can go, and like you can still cut it up more because there's still more to it. Like, I don't understand how that works, but it works. Because we're all made of atoms. That's all we are. So, you know, science is a big, big part of my higher power. It's like, you know, I work in an evidence-based practice, and, you know, over the past 5.5, 6 years, the evidence that of the things that I'm doing shows me that, you know, this higher power thing, this thing that I'm putting before myself is working. You know, and it may not be the same as your God, your higher power, but it's something that works for me. And, you know, I had experience about 2 years sober. I went to this meeting with a couple friends, and afterwards we're talking about God. And my friend Emily comes up to me. She's like, you believe in God, right? And I was like, yeah, I do. I do today. And she's like, well, how do you know that God exists? I was like, I don't. I don't know that God exists. But I can give you, like I said earlier, 100 different reasons why God doesn't exist, but the only one that matters to me today is the way I feel. God is a feeling. You know, when I got here, I was dead spiritually. I wanted nothing more than to be dead. And, you know, it takes some time to get through that process and actually feel alive again, to have that light come back in your eyes, to actually be okay waking up being okay with myself, being able to look at myself, being able to be good to other people. And so, the God thing, you know, even still today, like I had a rough year and a half, and that's okay. And like my sponsor gave me these speaker discs, this guy Bob D, and I was listening to it, and like he kind of had a similar experience where it's like he kind of broke it down for me. You know, you want to know what your higher power is, like just go throughout a day and think about what you think about most, and that is your higher power. You know, if it's women, if it's your job, if it's anything, it doesn't matter. If it's the television show, if it's baseball, if it's football, it doesn't matter. Whatever you're thinking about most is your higher power. And we build up these walls and we have these obstructions that are gonna block us from the light. And that's exactly the position I was in. It's like, you know, I got frustrated because I wasn't getting my will. You know, I had some great opportunities last year where I got a job that I thought I wanted. Turns out I didn't want that job. And, you know, that's what I'd been working for the past 8 years. And you get to that point where you get to where you think you want to be, and that's not it. It kind of messes with you a little bit. And so the solution to that, to getting out of the obstruction out of the way, you know, it's pretty simple. It's being of service, not thinking of yourself. And, you know, that I've made a real valiant effort over the past 3.5 months to do that, and my life has become phenomenal again. You know, I'm not always thinking about me. I'm not concerned about my job. I'm not concerned about relationships. You know, my main thing right now is how can I be of service to you and my fellows in and out of the room? And, you know, that's kind of been my transition from atheist into believing in something. You know, I still don't know what it is. My God changes on a regular basis. And it's kind of funny because my sponsor came up to me a few months ago. He's like, so, Jared, is your next God going to be a male, a female, or an asexual? I was like, God damn it, Dave. You know me way too well. And he's right. You know, I place these other people and these other things before, like, the spiritual God. And, like, if I put another person in that role, I am sure to be let down. I'm sure to be hurt. And, you know, we're going to do that as alcoholics, as drug addicts, because that's what we do. You know, the drugs and the alcohol were my higher power for a long time. You know, I could drink at anybody and everybody. But by some miracle, I haven't had to have a drink or a drug since November 28th of 2008. That's a long freaking time. I couldn't go longer than 3 days before. So, if you ask me if I believe in God today, the answer is I don't know. But I'm still sober, so there's got to be something greater than me. So I guess that's where the atheist ideals come into play, more agnostic probably today. So, you know, if you're struggling with this God concept, give it a shot. You know, I shared what worked for me, like write down a list, what you want your God to be, what you want your God not to be. And do that. And the thing with this program is like with a spiritual experience, you know, we have to continue having these spiritual experiences to stay sober. Because eventually the shine is going to wear off. And the shine has worn off for me a couple different times. And I've hit some pretty low spots. And that's why, you know, in the 11th step, you know, we're seeking God, we're not finding God. We have to continue to look. And, you know, sometimes we look in the wrong places. And that gives us a good experience. And I don't know if I'm going to always stay sober, but I'm sober today. You know, I have no idea what's going to happen. Another thing my sponsor had me do was write a list early on of the different situations in my life that I would go out and drink over. And you know, some of those things have happened, and I haven't wanted to drink over them. But it's the other little things in life that have snuck up on me. And it's like, oh my God, I can't deal with this. I can't handle this. But there is a solution. And usually the God is going to be, you know, the group of drunks, the good orderly direction. You know, good orderly direction is probably one of the main things my God is. You know, what's the next right thing? And the only way I can know what the next right thing is not doing what I think the next right thing is. You know, I have to bounce these ideas off my sponsor. I have to, off my friends in AA, you know, somebody who has an objective point of view. Because when I get in my own head, it's all based off feeling and emotion. And I can't see things clearly. You know, I don't really know if I have much more to say. But, you know, I'm grateful to be here today. I'm grateful to be sober. I'm grateful for the opportunity. You know, I've been saying a prayer on a regular basis lately. It's getting me out of the way and, like, opening me up to new experiences. And I've had a lot of new experiences lately. And, you know, that's where the shine comes from, something new. It was the same with the drugs. You know, I would mix and match. You know, that was a new experience. So mix and match your sobriety. Try different meetings, try different people. But what you should, I'm not going to tell you what you should do. do it my way, damn it. But continue to seek. You know, whatever that is for you. If that's hiking, if that's solitude, if that's being with other people, if that's just being a good person when you weren't before, you know, do that. You know, do the things that make you feel good inside. And you know, I think you'll have a new experience. I don't know if everybody in here is sober today, but you know, today's a good day to start. So if you have any questions, I'm happy to talk with you afterwards. I'm sure anybody up here is too. It was great hearing from you guys. My name's Jared. I'm an alcoholic, and I'll take another 24.